Today's daf is Kaf Bet. We're starting at the very bottom of Kaf Aleph Amud Bet. I just want to review two things that are important to start off the day with. One is in the middle, or toward the top, the first top third, like right at the bottom of the top third of Kaf Aleph Amud Bet. We saw the opinion of Rav Huna that we're going to relate to very soon, which was Amar Rav Huna. Okay, the first word in the line is who, if you want to just look for a minute, although it's pretty simple. Hai bar mavoa de oke rechaya. One guy in the Mavoi owns a rechaim, a millstone. Va'ata bar mavoa chavre v'kamoke gabe, and a friend who's living in the same alleyway wants to open up a rechaim also. Dinahu de ma'akev ilave. Okay, so according to Rav Huna, you could be ma'akev, someone in the same Mavoi, right? B'nei b'to Mavoi. Okay, that's the first thing. You can stop him from doing what he writes from competition. Then we saw this brayta. We saw that what Rav Huna says is actually a machloket tana'im. We saw kitanai. Okay, so just jumping down toward the bottom, tanaihi. Okay, so about 12 lines, 13 lines from the bottom. D'tanya kofim b'nei mevo'od zeh zeh shalo lo hoshi b'nehem lo chayav lo borski v'lo melamei tinoko v'lo chami b'nei balei amoniyot. That was that they can't bring in others. I can't rent out my space. If someone owns a hummus shop in my mavoi, and I can't bring someone else in, rent my space out to have a chumus place. But if somebody is already living there, they're allowed to do that. Rashbag omer af lishchino kofeu. Okay, and Rashbag says, like Rav Huna, right? Rav Huna is with Rashbag, that even shchino, right? Af shchino, you could be kofeu, right? You could force him not to do that kind of a job. Then we ended off with Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yoshua, who said three things. Okay, we'll start with this. Pshitali har barmata barmata achrite matzim akev. It's clear that if someone comes from a different city and wants to work in this mavoi, clearly, wants to work anywhere in the city. Someone from another city wants to open up a shop that we already have one like that in the city. Now, again, you have to think about, right? If someone from Farsava came to open a store in Manana, no one's going to stop him. There's obviously so much competition that it's not going to really make much of a difference. But I assume we're talking about where it's a much smaller population. So then you can prevent him. But if he pays ishayach b'karga dehacha lo matzimakim, but if he's paying taxes, then you can't. Pay taxes to the city of Ranana. Bar mevo'ah, a bar mevo'ah dinafshe, one guy living in a mavoi to another guy living in that same mavoi, lo matzimakim, right? That's he's basically explaining shitat chachamim. Okay, that's chachamim. Okay, Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yoshua. Remember, don't get confused with the Rav Hunas, okay? Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yoshua. No, I took a whole course in Bar Ilan called Klalei Talmud, and there's all these books written to describe who, when you see Rav Elazar Stam, which Rav Elazar that is. You see Rav Huna, right? All these things about what names, when they come without anything, so which person are they? Like Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yoshua, I know exactly who he is, right? But Rav Huna Stam, right, is always going to be referring to the same Rav Huna. Okay, and there's all these clothing books written about these things. It's really, I mean, it's somewhat interesting. It's somewhat a little tedious. Okay, and obviously there's debates about some of them, right? Some of them are not as clear.
What, you mean we don't all agree on everything? Shocking.
Exactly. Okay, so now, but so then what did he say? So the same person in the same mavoi, right? You can't prevent someone in the same mavoi. But by Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua, bar mevoa, a bar mevoa achrina. But he asked a question, what about someone in a different mavoi, mai? There's a bit of a debate about what exactly his question is, but let's assume what he means is someone from a different mavoi, not a different city, and this isn't in between. He doesn't come from a different city, he comes from a different mavoi, and he wants to, let's say, right where I'm bent over now, someone from a chara'am wants to come and open up, there's a glasses store right across the street from me in someone's house, and he wants to open up a glasses shop on Bentov. Would he be allowed to open it? He lives in a chara'am, he's close, he's neighbor, but he's not in the same mavoi. Would he be allowed to open it on this street? Teku. And the answer is, right, we don't know what Chachamim would say. So Amar Rav Yosef. Now we're going to relate to a few of these things. So now we're going to, Rav Yosef first is talking about Rav Huna. Okay, the first thing is Rav Yosef talking about Rav Huna. So we have to go back to Rav Huna, that's why I wanted to organize it all, which is, he says you can prevent someone in the same mavoi. Right, Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yoshua was talking about someone from a different mavoi, right? Same mavoi, he said, l'chachamim, that you can stop them, right? But, I'm sorry, you can't stop them, okay? But Rav Huna wants to say now, and that Rav Yosef is referring to Rav Huna, and he says that Rav Huna would be modeh b'mikre dar dekeh de lo matzim akev damarmar. You remember, right, that whether you read this or not, the stuff in parentheses, Ezra tekeh len Yisrael eshiyum ushivin sofer b'tzad sofer b'nichu shtil ma'atel ashrule amarleh kinatzor from tarbeh chochma. So the main thing is that kinatzor from tarbeh chochma, therefore someone on the same street wants to open up, right? Someone across the street decides to have a daf yomi shir every morning. So that's allowed because kinatzor from tarbeh chochma. I won't complain, even if it's just for women. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Umode Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yoshua. Okay, so that was Rav Yossi. That's why I wanted to organize it all first. Rav Yossi was first talking about Rav Huna, who says you could be ma'akev the b'nei otom avoy, but not if it's for learning purposes. Again, there, by the way, I don't know if we'll compare the daf yomi, because there it's talking about daf the children. The importance of teaching children, it supersedes anything else, but there they were specifically talking about children. So it might not be actually true for a daf yomi for women's share. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Umode Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yoshua. Okay, now this is the last statement we saw. Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yoshua, who talked about specifically not allowing people from another city to sell stuff in our city. Okay, remember, he actually talked about three things, right? Two he said were definite, one he questioned, but now they're relating to the fact that people from Kfar Saba are not allowed to come into Renan and do business, but he makes an exception. He's modeh b'rochlin ha-machzirim ba'ayarot de'lo matzim akev. There's people who come and they sell perfume, and what they do is they come in their caravan and they go from city to city. So those people, you can't stop from coming into your town. Okay? Now why, right? One reason you could say because they're temporary, they're not really staying, and we'll talk about that soon. But he has a different reason. Da'amar mar, it's very interesting, and it's very parallel to, you could see why maybe the Ezra Tikein Lehen Yisrael is a mistake, and it came in because of this. Okay, even though we saw it on the other page, but maybe that's why it's in parentheses here, it got accidentally copied because it appeared right here. But remember, what was the takana before? That you have to put up people in every city, right? Right, teachers. Teachers. But what is? I can't remember. Is that nusach the exact same nusach we saw before? I don't remember. Did we see Ezra Tikein Lehem, or was it just Yeshua ben Gamla? It was just Yeshua ben Gamla. Actually, it wasn't Ezra. So here, the Girsa says it was Ezra. I don't know if it's actually a correct Girsa or not. Okay, but anyway, now they say Ezra Tikein Lehem liYisrael. Shehu rochlim mechazirim ba'ayarot. You're going to really not like this one. Kedei shiu tachshitim mitzuyin lebenot Yisrael. Okay, what reason do the Mefarshim say? Okay, you could say, okay, it's very nice because women want jewelry and perfume and all that, and therefore it's very important to have these, but what's the obvious concern? Shema titgane al ba'ala, right? That she doesn't become disgusting in the eyes of her husband, okay? And that is important for the men, that the women keep themselves looking nice. So because of that, we allow these rochlin, who are specifically, we allow specifically these people who sell the perfumes and the jewelry to come around everywhere. Okay, even if they're from different cities. V'hani mile lahadure, but obviously this only is if they're passing through. Aval la'agbue lo, but if they plan to stay here and camp out here permanently, then we don't allow them. V'eat sorva mirabananhu, and if it's run, this business, by Talmid Chacham, right, seems like a strange profession for Talmid Chacham, afilu la'agbue nami, okay, even if he plans to stay, why? Ki hada rabba shari lehu l'rabbi Yoshayu l'rabba vadya la'agbue delo kehilchata. Okay, against this halacha that we saw before, that they cannot be kvuim, he allowed them, l'tmi mishurat hadin, to be kvuim in a different city. It was obviously what happened. They came to the city to learn, and they wanted to set up business, right? There's all these people, I'll get right, for example, in B'nai Brak. They learn all day, but they have, I remember when the kids were little, we had a McLaren stroller, and there was like this guy in B'nai Brak that would fix McLaren strollers. Like, he was the guy who, you know, and it was almost impossible to find a time to get there because he was mostly learning, and he had like an hour a day that he would come to the shop and take care of it. So basically, what do we say here? He allowed these guys to be kvuim in the city. De lo kelchata lifni mishurat adim. We say, my time, kevan drabana ninu achu litridu migir saihu. And as if they can't make a living, they're not going to be able to focus on their learning. So it's very important that they make a living. So we allow them to make their living at the expense of conflicting interests. What's interesting here is it's lifni mishurat adim, but it's only in one direction. It's obviously harming the other people. There's a bit of a confusion about this sugya, which I haven't worked out, which is, if it's so important that we have these rochlim in the city, then it sounds like we're allowed to let these people come in because there aren't people doing it in the city. But if there are people doing it in the city, then what do we need to let the Rochlim do it for? And if there aren't people in the city, then why don't we let the Rochlim stay? So there's something that's not... It sounds like there must be some people in the city that are also selling this. But maybe Ezra made this... And it could be that Ezra made this kind of years ago when there weren't people selling in the cities. Now, in the time of the Gemara, people are already selling in the cities. But because of the Sakan of Ezra, we have to allow it because of the...
Their grandfathered in.
Right, exactly. Their grandfathered in. It could be that's the way we view it. Okay. Hani dukule da'ate dikla lebavel. There were these people who sold baskets, who brought these baskets to Bavel. Achu b'nei mata kam akve Ilavayu, thank you. I was struggling to get it. Ilavayu. So the people of the city said, we don't want these basket sellers from Bavel coming into our city. Achu l'kamei de Ravina, they go before Ravina, amar l'hu, me'alma atu ula alma lizbenu. They came from the outside. They can, now here there's again a few different interpretations. I'll go with one. And they can sell to people who are coming from the outside. Now, we have a big shuk that attracts a lot of passerbys. So let them sell only to the people who are outside our city. They can't sell to people in the city, but they can sell to people outside the city. Other people say, no, they came from outside. They can come and sell in the shuk, but they can't go like door to door. Okay? Right. V'hane mile b'yoma d'shuka. But this is only on the day of the shuk they're allowed to. Aval below yoma d'shuka, lo. U'b'yoma d'shuka, and even on the day of the shuk, nami lo amrinan, ela lizvune b'shuka. It still only means they could sell in the shuk. On the day of the shuk, in the shuk. Aval la'dure, that's what I was saying before, to go door to door, lo. They're not allowed to. Hanu amorai, okay, this is with an ayin, not with an aleph. They're not emoraim. They're wool sellers, okay? Amor is wool. Amor is wool. We'll see in a second. These wool sellers, da'aitu amra lefum nahara, the pum nahara, they came to the city of pum nahara to sell. Atu b'nei mata kama akve ilavaihu, they tried to prevent them. Atu l'kameja rav kahana, the sellers go before rav kahana, amar lehu, he says to them, dinahu d'ma akve alaihu. By law, they can prevent you from doing it. Amrule, but they said to him, listen, we already sold a bunch, and itlan ashrai. We have people who owe us money. We sold a bunch, people said, I'll get you the money tomorrow, I'll get you the money in a week. So they say, if you're kicking us out of the city, basically, you know, they're not kicking them out of the city, but what are they saying? You can't sell. If they can't sell, then in effect, you're kicking them out of the city because they have to make money. So what are they going to do? So they're obviously going to have to leave town. If they leave town, they're never going to get the money of the stuff they sold. The people said, we'll pay you back later. So Amar Lehu, he said to them, Zilu Zavnu Shior Chiyutaihu Ad Akritu Ashrai Didhu. Sell the amount you need to survive on. Okay, that's Shior Chiyutaihu, right, for living, until you finish collecting all your Ashrai. In other words, don't start selling any more in Ashrai right now, and wait till you collect all your Ashrai, and then you Vazlitu, and then you have to go. Rabdimi Minahardea, okay, Rabdimi now comes from Nahardea, Aite Grogro Pasvina. He brings, by the way, I think I said grogro were dates the other day. They're figs. He brings figs in a boat. Amar le Resh Galuta le Rava, okay, comes to the city of the Resh Galuta. And the Resh Galuta says to Rava, Puk chaze itzur v'merabanan hu nakit le shuka. Go check out if this guy, Rav Dimi, is a Talmid Chacham. Okay? Is he a Talmid Chacham? Yeah, we know Rav Dimi from the Gemara. He's obviously a Talmid Chacham. He was one of the people who brought the Torah of Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. So now he comes... Okay, and what does he do? So he wants to sell. Now they say, listen, if he's a Talmid Chacham, then give him the shuk, basically. Give him exclusive rights to sell this item that he's got. Amar le Rava le Rav Ada Bar Abba. So Rava says, and it's like a hierarchy. Resh Galuta says to Rava, go figure out if he's Talmid Chacham. Rava gives the dirty work to Rav Ada Bar Abba. You go figure out, Rav Ada Bar Abba, is this guy Talmid Chacham or no? Puk Tehele, he says to Rav Ada Bar Abba, go figure out Bikankane. Go check out whether he's Bikankane, whether he's like what he really means is go smell the jug of wine to see is the wine good or is the wine spoiled, which basically means go check out is this guy a Talmid Chacham or not. Nafik Azal, so he goes, by Mine, he asks him this question, very strange question. Pil Shabalak Fifa Mitzrit Vihikia. A peel, an elephant, swallows a I think it's a basket. Yeah, it's an Egyptian type of basket, which is makabel tuma. Bihikia derech beit hari'i, and he excretes it. Okay, not hikia like vomiting, but he excretes it. Mahu, is it considered destroyed because it's basically like kli galalim, which is not makabel tuma. Okay, anything that's waste is not makabel tuma. Or if it came out whole, out, you know, through the animal, maybe it's still a kli and it's makabel tuma. So, happens to be a very odd question, and Rav Dimi doesn't know the answer. Lo hava biyade. So Amar Lemar, Mar Nihu Rava Tafik Le Basandale. One second. Mar Nihu Rava.
Taps him on his.
Right. Well, he taps him on his shoe, but I think we're missing something.
Right.
First, Rav Dimi asks him, Mar Nihu Rava, are you Rava, who I heard about, who's this great Talmid Chacham? Now remember, it was a Rava. His Rava sent him to do this. Tafach le basandale. The guy slaps him on his shoe. Okay, Rav Dimi, and as Rav Adbar Abba slaps Rav Dimi. Amar le, Ben Didi le Rava Ikatuva. Okay, he's much greater than me. Mihu al korcha. Ana Rabcha, v'Rabba Rabba de Rabcha. Okay, what does he say? Even though Rabba is much greater than me, right? I am your Rav, meaning I am greater than you, and therefore, and Rabba is your rabbi's rabbi. Okay, he's basically, he obviously isn't his rabbi, but what he's saying is, there's a hyerarchy, just like we started the story with the hierarchy. There's the Reish Galuta sends Rabba, Rabba sends Rav Adbar Abba, and then Rav Adbar Abba says, you're below me on the list. Okay? Basically saying, you're not a Talmid Chacham, and lo natu le shuka, and they don't give him exclusive rights to the shuk. Pasi gro groti day, what happens? He's not able to sell his stuff, and all of his stuff spoils. Ata le kameja Rav Yosef, so he goes in front of Rav Yosef. Amar le, chaze mar my avdule, look what these guys did to me. Right? It's interesting, it was only Rav Adbar Abba, but he realizes that Rava and maybe even the Reish Galuta were behind it, so he's joining everybody in his complaint. Amar le, man de lo shehiya le onita de malka de edom, lo nishaya le onitech. Dechtiv, okay, we'll read the pasuk and then we'll go back. Komar Hashem, famous pasukim from Amos, al shlosha pishe mo'av, al arba'a lo ashivenu, al sarfo atzmot melech edom. This is where God basically says, even though all these nations, you know, they attack Bnei Israel, but they're going to get punished for their sins also. I don't know if it's just for attacking Bnei Israel, but also their sins. It's a very, if you've ever learned Amos, it's fascinating because it goes through all these nations that God's going to punish, and you think like, okay, you're reading it, other nations, okay, and then all of a sudden it ends with, and I'm also going to punish the Jewish people. And in other words, it's like almost like you don't really care, and then when it hits you, it's like a way of waking you up. So anyway, just like God punished them for their psha'im, right? That's what he's saying. He who didn't lo shehiye leonita demalka de Edom didn't stop himself from punishing people who deserve to get punished, which were the Edomim. Lo nishaya leonitech. He won't delay in punishing you. Okay. What?
Not punishing you, punishing those who did this to you.
Well, you're right. This is. Yeah. Rav Yosef said this. I forgot. Right. Rav Yosef says this to Rav Dimi. Right. Rav Yosef is saying, I thought for a minute it was Rav Dimi, but you're right. It's Rav Yosef says to Rav Dimi, God won't delay in punishing those who did this to you. In other words, you're right. You were basically worked on and humiliated, and yes, and they're going to get punished. Melech Edom, what's that? Hey, it doesn't. Lishid.
Lishid.
It's the end of the quote. Melech Edom, Lishid. Until bones. Nach Sheid Rav Adbar Abba. Okay, Rav Adbar Abba. Can't say his name. Rav Adbar Abba dies. Okay, because of this. He basically, Rav Yosef curses him and he dies. Interestingly enough, only he gets punished and not the ones who sent him. Okay, maybe he didn't do a good job in determining it. Maybe they were right for saying determine if he's a Talmid Chacham, but Rav Adbar Abba didn't do his work properly. Okay, even though what was interesting is Rav Dimi was blaming multiple people, he's really the one who took the fall. Okay, now we have a very interesting discussion. Obviously, Rav Yosef never meant to kill Rav Adbar Abba. So Rav Yosef Amar, Ana Anishte, I should get punished. De Ana Latite, I cursed him. Rav Dimi min Hardea Amar, Ana Anishte, Da'afsi Grogro Didi. I should be the one who's punished because he ruined my grogrot. And because of that, this brought about, you know, had I not brought my grogrot, they never would have gotten ruined. And in other words, what we're going to have here is sometimes we have people who ignore responsibility. Here, everyone's going to take responsibility for his death, okay?
What? We're all taking responsibility, but each one is not saying I should be punished. Rather, at least I punished him.
Ah, Anishte, thank you. Okay, so it's saying I punished him. I caused him to die. Okay, so they're not saying I should be punished, although in theory what they're saying is
they're
if I caused someone's death, right? They're taking responsibility. Thank you for correcting me. So, again, Rav Yosef says, right, I'm the one who punished him because I cursed him. Rav Dimi says, I'm the one who punished him because my grogro got messed up and that's what caused me to start complaining. Abai Amar, Ana Anishte, Da Amar Luhul Rabbanan, Adimagramitu Garme Be Abaye Tu Achle Bisra Shmena. Oh, sorry. Adigarmitu Garme Be Abaye Tu Achle Bisra Shmena Be Rava. Because he said about me that instead of going to learn and get lean meat at Abaye's house, or getting bones, Garme or bones, at Be Abaye, you're better off eating fat meat in Rava's yeshiva. Okay, and as Rav Adabar Abba had said this about him, and because, again, what's he saying? Rav Adabar Abba said something not nice about me, but that I'm responsible for the fact that he said something not nice about me. Obviously, again, it's not exactly his fault, but because Rav Adabar Abba said that, that must be what killed him. And as everyone trying to find something that must have killed him. V'Rava Amar Ana Anishte. Because when, I can't remember now, who's going to the Beit HaBach, let's keep reading it for a minute. When we go to the butcher to weigh the meat, Amar lehu letabchai, ana shakilna bisra'ad, right, it's Rav Adabar Abba, would go to the butcher to measure, you know, to weigh the meat, or to buy, basically. Amar lehu letabchai, he would say to the tabach, ana shakilna bisra mikame shame de rava. Da'ana adifa mine. Okay, what does he say? He would go to the butcher and Rava's shamash would be there. And he would say, listen, I go before Rava's shamash because I take precedence over him. Which is just interesting in terms of this whole story. There's a lot of this, who takes precedence over who. We started with it at the beginning. There's the Rish Galuta, there's Rava, there's Rav Adabar Abba. And then it continues in this whole thing, right? There's a Bai Rava, who's better than who. They're clearly trying to get at, there's, you know, is Rav Dimi a Talmid Chacham or not? This attitude of the Talmidei Chachamim about, we've seen this before, are you in or are you out? Are you up? Are you on this level? Are you on that level? And it's obviously a critique, right? All these rabbis are taking responsibility in the sense that they're saying, we have a problem in our system. There's something not right about the way we treat other people. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar, so Rava again is saying, it's my fault because my shamash is there, and that caused him to be mitnasei, you know, to say, I'm better than my shamash. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar Ana Anishte. I am the one who caused it. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Reish Kala Hava. We would give the Shirei Kala, or the Reish. Remember, we talked about the Yarche Kala that would happen twice a year, once before the Chagim, right before Tishrei and before Nisan. Kol Yom Mekame Dineu LeKala Marhit Bahadei Rav Adabar Abba Lishmate. Every time before I give my shir, I run it by Rav Adabar Abba. Okay, I run it by him just to kind of go through it, right? It's a good lesson, right? So I practice your shiur beforehand. Bahadar aya lekala, and then I go into the Yarchei Kala and I teach. Hahu yoma naktua rav papa v'rav huna b'reid rav Yoshua l'rav Adabar Abba mishum de lohavu b'siyuma. I forget what this is. Right, Rashi says, yesh omrim shelo hayu be'etzak shanase rav Nachman reish kala. Right. This is the explanation that they weren't at the siyum. Rava had given a shir. They weren't there. So what did they do? Since they knew that Rav Adabar Abba was a good guy for this kind of thing, they pulled him aside and they said, listen, we missed Rava's shir yesterday. Can you give us, can you fill us in on what he did? Amrulei, Eimalan hanishmata demaster behema, hechi amrinu Rava. Tell us, what was the shir of master behema that Rava said? Because we weren't there. Amar lehu, hachi amar Rava, v'hachi amar Rava. Okay, so then he said, this is what Rava said, this is what Rava said. Okay, basically gives him over the shir. What happened as a result? He didn't show up to Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak to do the Yarchik, you know, for him to review his shir. Adahachi nagale l'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. It was getting late. Okay, the time was passing. And whether you read this or not, right? But lo ate Rav Ada bar Abba. Amr le'Rabbana l'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Kum denagalan. Right? Lama yati mar. Get up and give us the shir. What are you delaying for? Amar lehu yativna bekamin tere la'arse de Rav Ada bar Abba. He says, I'm sitting and waiting for the bed for his dead body to come show up on my doorstep. Okay? Now whether he meant, he could have meant two things by this. One is the guy shows up every single day. If he's not here, he must be dead. And that's why he didn't want to give the shir, because he was probably very upset that the guy had died, and he couldn't believe, you know, like every day the guy comes, he's not here, he must be dead, and I'm just waiting for them to bring his dead body. It could be he was angry at him, and he said, you know, I'm waiting for the dead body. In other words, when he comes, I'm gonna kill him. I find it hard to believe he really said something like that, but
over your dead body,
right? So anyway, what happens? Adahachi nafakala denach nafshed rav adabar abba. In the meanwhile, becomes clear that he died. Umistabra, and now the sugya ends in a very interesting way. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak anshe. It seems the sugya, which, right, we almost never get clarification at the end of a sugya, here they dafka tell you it was Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak who did it. Conclusive, right? Of all sugyot to be conclusive about, this is an interesting one.
Let's Rav Yosef off the hook since he started it.
I'm trying to think about whether this concept of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak and the hierarchy, how this fits in. Because again, he was the rabbi and he relied on someone else. It's almost like he couldn't give a shir without running it by someone else. Maybe almost they view it as, you know, when they asked him to give the shir, he wasn't willing to give it on his own. Maybe it was almost like he was duping people a little bit. That without running a bar Rav Ada bar Abba, he wasn't like his greatest, you know, he was, Rav Ada bar Abba was getting a lot of credit, wasn't getting any credit for the shirim, but should have been getting all the credit. Because he was obviously such an important part that he wasn't willing to give the shir without him, and maybe that was part of it, that he wasn't
a mentor.
He hadn't recognized him enough in public, or, well, I wonder if he was a mentor or he was below him, but yet he was giving him so much, and yet maybe he wasn't recognizing him in public about it and taking all the credit as if he was the rabbi. That's why the rabbis couldn't understand, why aren't you teaching us? You're here.
If you get used to running, you know, to running, then you lose the self confidence. You might be perfectly fine, but you're in the habit of.
Yeah, but that wouldn't show why he's responsible for his death. In other words, we have to find some flaw in him. Right? It could be because because he got mad. It could be right. He lost confidence and then got mad and then got right. Again, whether you view it that he got mad or not.
Another very strong point in the story that the rabbis were all working and had businesses.
Yes. Yes, it's clear they're all working, and that's what's keeping them alive, is the fact that they're working and learning at the same time. That's also... okay, Tov. Moving on. New Mishnah. Mishaya kotzlo samuch lekotzal chavero. This is going to be a Mishnah that's very hard to understand the first line. He had a wall next to his friend's wall. We're back to the kotzal stuff. Lo yismoch lo kotzal acher elem ken erchik mimenu arba amod. He can't put up another wall. Now, it's very confusing. There's already two walls. What are we talking about? Another wall, it must be that the wall fell. So he has a wall that's next to his friend's wall. Now the problem is it sounds like it's next to, it's even within Purim Amot. Then the wall falls, he can't put up another one unless it's a distance of 4 Amot. So the Gemara is going to immediately ask, well, how do you put up the first one? Right? Now again, you could say maybe he was went up first, but then again, the other guy shouldn't have put his wall up. And right, it's a little tricky how to understand it exactly, but we'll talk about it in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to have to assume that it's talking about something different. Again, you could say, even if the wall was there and you did it wrong, you know, now you have to fix it and do it right once it's like that. We'll see. We'll see some different explanations. Hachalonot, we learned this also. Bein milamalam, bein milamatam, bein kenegdan, arba amod. If you're going to put up a wall next to somebody's window, you have to distance it, right? Whether you're above the window, so then you have to be above more than, right? Bein milamalam, bein milamatam, right? It has to be more than four amod above the window. If it's under the window, it has to be, you have to leave 4 amod under the window as, you know, your height of your wall. There has to be space from the top of your wall till the window of 4 amot. And if you're doing a kenegdan opposite the window, then also it has to be 4 amot away. We'll get into this also in the Gemara. Gemara. The Kama, the first wall, Hechisanich. How did he put it there if it was, right? If it was closer than 4 Amot. So Amar of Yehuda Hachi Kamar, Haba Lismoch, Lo Yismoch, Ela Im Kener Pik Mimenu, Arba Amot. It's not talking about a kotel that was there originally. It's saying, if a guy has a wall, don't put your wall within 4 Amot. And there was no other wall. Obviously, Matkif LaRav, Avahami Shaya Kotlo, Samuch LeKotel Chavero Katani. It sounds like there was a wall already. You can't say there wasn't a wall, and we're just talking about putting up a wall LeChatchila. It doesn't match the words in the Mishnah. Ela Amar Rava, so Rava answers differently. Hachi Katani. Mi Shaya Kotlo, Samuch LeKotel Chavero Birichuk Arba Amot. If someone's wall was next to the other one's wall with a distance of 4 Amot, Binafal, and then it falls, Lo yismoch lo kotel acher elen kenerchik mimenu dalet amot. You can't put it up any closer. Now, why would you think you could? And what's the issue here? My time, all right? Isn't it obvious? No, why do you have to teach the chiddush if it fell? You can't put it up again closer. If from the milachatchila you couldn't put it closer, so why would you think you could now? So my time, what's the chiddush here? Didav shedahache male lahatam. Why does it have to be a distance of 4 amot? Because in order to strengthen the ground, we need people to tread on the ground. That's the davsha, davsha. Davsha is we want people to tread on the ground. And by people treading on the ground, it will strengthen the ground, which will then strengthen the walls. Now, you might have thought, if there was already a wall up there, now what's the issue with 4 amot? You have to have space for people to walk by. If you have a very narrow space, people aren't going to squeeze through narrow walls. They're going to walk on the other side. And then what's going to happen is, right, assuming this is your wall, this is your friend's wall, okay? This is the wall that existed, your friend's wall. Now, you distance your wall 4 amot from there, okay? So people, if you distance it 4 amot, people will walk through here. If they don't, then they're only, then if this is his wall, no one's going to walk on the other side of his wall. This is the only side of his wall that's free to walk by, because the other side of his wall is his house, his property. So therefore, on the other side, you have to leave 4 amot to strengthen his wall. Now, you might, what's the chiddush that there was a kotel and it fell and it got put up again. But you might have thought that maybe the wall, the ground is already strengthened enough because it was already a wall and people have been walking by for a while already. The fact that there was a wall and it fell doesn't help you for that issue. You still need, we still have to assume that you need the ground to be strengthened in order that it doesn't weaken his wall. So Amarav, Lo Shanu Ela Kotel Gina, Aval Kotel Chatzir and Bala Smoch Somech. So based on that, what does Rav say? Again, Rav came after Rava, but based on that logic, what do we say? If it's a kotel of a garden, then no one's going into that garden because it's his own private garden. If on the other side of this wall is a gina, okay, a garden, then no one else can walk there. But if it's a courtyard, well, a courtyard, people walk through. And therefore, if it's a courtyard, we can assume people will walk by and strengthen it, and therefore you can't put your wall nearby. So he says the halacha and the mishnah is only about a gina. Rabbi Yoshaya Omer, Echad Kotel Gina, Echad Kotel Chatzir, and Bala Smoch Eino Somech. Rabbi Yoshaya says, either which one, even a Kotel Chatzir, you cannot put it close by. And Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Velo Pligi, there's actually no machloket between them. Their only machloket is, what's the case in the Mishnah? Okay? But they actually both agree lahalacha, because what's each one is talking about a different scenario. Ha Be'ir Yishana, Ha Be'ir Chadasha. One is talking about in an old city. In an old city, that's where Rav says you can be somech to the chatzir. Because you can assume in an old city, I saw some of the Pershim say it means a city that's been around for 60 years. You can assume that the ground's been treaded on enough. And you don't have to worry. And therefore, in a chatzir, where there will be some people walking through, you don't have to, you can be somech. Whereas in a gina, you still can't. And that's what he claims our Mishnah is talking about. And Rabbi Yoshaya would say, Be'ir Chadasha he was talking about. And that's why even in the Ginan, even a Chatzir, in Balas Mochino Somech. So La Halacha, they agree, they disagree about the Perush of the Mishnah. Tanan. Now we're going to have a question on Rava. So Rava now explains, again, because it was difficult to understand what we were talking about in the Mishnah, because there was a kotel, there was already 4 amot, and then, so what's the chidush of the Mishnah here? So he says, the kotel, the first kotel was 4 amot away, it fell, now we force you to build your wall where the other one was or further away. You cannot move it any closer. And you can't claim, oh, now we don't need davsha of the ground, because right, we're still worried about the ground not being strong enough. So, The rest of the next case in the Mishnah says, "Halonot beimi lamalam, beimi lamatam, beimi kenegdan, arba amot." Okay, so again, the walls, you need this 4 amot space. Vitane alan, what does it say? There's a brayta, we learned this already. Milamalan kedei shelo yatzitz v'yireh. If it's above the wall, it has to be at least 4 above the window. It has to be at least 4 amot above the window so that you don't stand at the top of the wall and look inside. Milamatan, or actually that you won't peek from the wall and see. In other words, you can peek over the wall. Milamatan shelo ya'amo v'yireh. Underneath, it has to be a distance of 4 amot so that if you stood at the top of your wall, you still wouldn't see into their window. Umikenegdan shelo ya'afil. Remember, if it's opposite, now this is the one that's going to be critical. What would you say according to this? If it's opposite, it has to be a space, okay? This guy has a wall with a window, okay? Now, you would have to distance your wall 4 amot. Why? According to Rava, because of Davsha Demilta, right? Davsha. Right? Because you want people to be treading through. But here, that's not what it says. It says if he's got a wall with a window, you have to be more than 4 amot away. Why? Kedei shelo yatzitz. So people don't look in. They weren't worried about Davsha. Okay? So that's a question on Rava. So let's read it inside. Shelo yafil. Shelo yafil. It won't darken. Right? It's not so you don't see. I'm sorry. I got confused for a minute. It won't be dark in the guy's house. That the sun will come through the window. Avamishum dav shelo. But it doesn't say anything about davsha. So what are the answer? You misunderstood the case. It's not that the guy wants to build a wall 4 amot opposite the window. Mikinegdan, even though it sounds like opposite. Right? Ha chabamayaskina biba min atzad. It's that you want to be perpendicular. Here's the wall with a window, and here the guy perpendicular to that wall wants to build his wall. Then it can't be within 4 amot of the window this way, okay? In other words, moving along the line of the guy's wall, right? Perpendicular, okay? It has to be with 4 amot away that way, and why does that resolve the davsha problem? In that case, you're not blocking any path for people. People could still walk alongside the guy's wall. Because your wall is only at the end of the guy's house, right? At the end of his wall. So, or farther away from his wall. So you're not blocking any path. So therefore, that's the reason why it's not Mishum Davsha. Vikama. So now they say, so how far does it have to be? Right, it actually doesn't... right. Amar Rav Yivo Chamua Da'ashyam Bar Nidbach Mishmei De'Rav Kimelo Rachav Chalon. It has to be... One second. This is... Right, how much is it going to be so that it doesn't block the light? Right, it doesn't say 4 amot yet here. So what does it say? Kimelo rochav chalon. Okay, the window's here, right? It has to be the same width that the window is. Okay, v'halo metzitz, but you could still look in through there. Amrav zvid b'mad. In other words, what's the issue? If you build your wall there, then so it's true you won't block the light. Okay, if you distance yourself. But you could still stand on that wall and look through the guy's window. If you're perpendicular, right, and you're not 4 amot away, then you could, in theory, still look through the guy's window. So Amar Rav Zvi, b'madir et kotlo. It's a case where he builds the wall on an angle, angling down, which means, right, you can't stand on a wall that's angled down. You could stand on a wall that's flat, but you made a wall that's angled down. V'ha'anantnan arba amot. But wait a minute, doesn't it say arba amot? So how could you say it's just a tefach, right? It doesn't make any sense. The whole Mishnah was, right, ha'chalonot, beim l'malam, beim l'matam, beim kenegdan arba amot. So how are you saying it's just a tefach away? So, or the melo rochav chalon, right? It says arba amot. So lo kashya kam miruach achad, kam mishtei ruchot. When it says arba amot, it means that if you're going to build 2 walls, okay, both perpendicular to the guy's wall with the window, okay, the guy, right, you can imagine like a chet shape. You have his wall with his window, and then you want to build a wall on one side and a wall on the other side, okay? So you can't, right, imagine the whole other area is your property. So if you're building mishtei ruchot, the distance between the 2 windows has to be 4 amot.
Yes.
But the distance between your walls have to be 4 amot, thank you. But the distance of each wall from the window only has to be melo rochav the window, right? Again, it can't be each wall. One of the walls can be close enough. It doesn't have to be 4 amot from the window. You follow? So if you take the guy's wall with the window, okay, let's imagine, right, it's going to be, let's say it's a tefach, his window. So you can leave a tefach on one side and build a wall,
perpendicular to that. But on the other side, if you want to build a wall, it's going to have to be much farther away because you're going to have to get up to 4 amot between your two walls. And that way, because if you put two walls within a close distance, you're definitely going to darken his house.
And the wall can connect to his wall?
And the wall can connect to his wall? I think it can connect. Oh, right. No, so I think it can connect. No, it's how far it has to be. You have a, I see. So it has to be a tefach away. I see. It has to be a tefach away. Right, I see. But okay. So then I said it wrong then. Okay, so you can then, okay. So according to that picture, maybe I looked at a different picture. Maybe it's different. But anyway, we'll go with that. Okay? So each of your walls can be...
close.
Right. They have to be 4 amot from each other. It's not a matter of how distant they are from the wall, the window itself in that wall. It's how distant they are from the wall of the neighbor with the window. So they have to be a tefach away so that some light can get through. But if you put two walls there, then you have to make sure at least there's a distance of 4 amot between the two walls. Okay, next question on, remember, we're back to the issue of the davsha. Tashma, ve'et ha-kotel min ha-mazchila dalet amot. You have to move a wall away from, if the guy has a roof, and on his roof there's a, what's it called? A gutter. Okay, and the gutter's letting out all the rainwater, right? You have to separate the kotel. If you want to build a kotel and the guy has a wall there with a drain coming out of it, you have to distance your kotel dalet amot. Why? The guy has to climb up there to clean out his gutter every once in a while. Stuff gets stuck in the gutter. If you don't allow him a space, you put your wall there and he can't, right? Obviously, we all know mathematics, right? If you put up a sulam on an angle, it's going to angle out, right? If you don't leave him enough space for his sulam to angle out, then he's not going to be able to get up to his roof. So tama mishum sulam, aval mishum dav shalo. But again, it doesn't say, right? This sounds like you're doing a wall opposite. You have to leave space for the sulam. So hacha b'mayas kinan, they're going to basically give a case where you don't have to worry about davsha because b'mazchila mishupa'at. D'im mishum davsha, d'im mishum davsha hu, haka'aza va'ate tute. What happens with a gutter? If you have a roof that's flat, so your gutter's going to be at the edge of your roof, and then you're going to obviously have to leave 4 amot, not only because of the gutter, but also because of davsha, because you're putting your wall opposite the guy's wall of his house. But if your roof is a slanted roof, okay, like our roofs are for general, so then the gutter extends beyond the boundaries of the house, which means that it has no effect on the people going by underneath. If your gutter comes out, let's say, 2 amot greater than the length of your house, then the wall could be 2 amot from there. If it had to do only with davsha, because you have the 2 amot between the end of the roof and the house, and then you have 2 amot to the wall, that will give you 4. But here they're saying you have to leave space until the gutter of 4 amot. You have to extend out even farther than what you would need for davsha because of the guy wants to get up to his attic with a ladder. Okay, we'll stop here for today.
The dalet amot from whatever the outermost edge
of the gutter. Where the gutter ends, basically.